Hey, welcome to the Fundraising Everywhere podcast. It's great to have you here. Over the next few episodes, we're taking a look at some of our favourite corporate partnerships on-demand sessions in celebration of our Corporate Partnerships Conference on the 21st of March. If you'd like to join us at the conference, you can use the promo code EFFYPODCAST to get 50% off. Yeah, just pop in EFFYPODCAST at checkout to get 50% off our Corporate Partnerships Conference in March via our website. Now, without further ado, on to today's episode. Enjoy.
So Ben and I are going to tell you, as Andy said, a little bit about Learning with Parents, then a little bit about IG Group and the Brighter Futures Fund. And then we're going to go into how we sort of came to work together and what that's looking like now. So I'm going to start off around Learning with Parents. As Andy sort of alluded to, we're an education charity, and the problem that we're focused on is around educational inequality for the poorest children in the UK. So what we know is that there's 1.3 million children who grow up in poverty in the UK, and that by the time they finish primary school, they're already on average 9 months behind their more affluent peers. What perhaps the sector and people might not know as much is that that 9 month gap, everyone sort of thinks it's due to school and looks at schools to solve it. But really, there's this interesting research from the IFS that showed that only 14% of the gap between the richest and the poorest kids relates to what happens in school and in the classroom. That compares to 49% that relates to what happens at home. And so when I started Learning with Parents, I started asking that question of, well, actually, what's being done to support that those parents and what happens at home in order to tackle education inequality, in order to build a fairer society? And what we know is that essentially working with parents is really hard. And that's why when you speak to schools, when you speak to other education organizations, they've tried stuff with parents, but they just seem to be at a bit of a sort of endpoint. So I always think that Learning with Parents started from a sort of stubbornness that just because working with parents is hard, and it always will be hard, doesn't mean that we shouldn't give it a go. So our vision as a charity is that every child is supported at home to fulfill their potential. So we see it whilst everyone's looking at schools and in that direction, we're really looking in earnest at what's happening in that home learning environment and how we're supporting those parents that face the biggest barriers. Now, that's a huge vision for a young charity. As Andy said, we only established in 2020. And so we don't think we can do it alone. When we talk about our charity, the first thing we always are keen to say is that we want to start to learn. And we want to help the sector to learn. How best can you support those parents that face the biggest barriers? We drive research and insights. We have partnerships with universities, as well as Andy mentioned, leading a group called the Parental Engagement Forum, which brings together charities focused on parents and the home learning environment. We don't want to just do research and advocacy, though. We want to sort of get our hands dirty and actually have a go working with parents. So we also have our core programs. These are parental engagement programs working with primary schools. And we support around 10,000 families across the country through those programs. Again, we're not saying we know how to do it yet. We're saying that we want to learn. Our programs are tech-based. And so we collect a lot of data. And our theory is that as we generate more data, we generate more insights. And that will help us to improve our programs. And over time, we will learn and improve our support. We start our support with reading. It's what primary schools and parents are sort of most familiar with in terms of that parental engagement. And then on top of that reading, we build maths and English programs, effectively replacing traditional homework with parental engagement activities. So that's a very high level sort of overview of our charity. I'll hand over to Ben for a bit of an overview of IG and the Brighter Future Fund.
Thanks, Tom. And thanks, Andy, for such a kind intro. I'll just do a quick intro to IG Group because it's not an organization that many people have heard of. I certainly hadn't before I started working here. We're a fintech company based or headquartered in the UK, but we're a global operation and we have offices in sort of 18 odd countries. We basically, we run a platform where people can go on and do trading and investing and use their, like, individuals using their spare cash to engage with the financial markets. We've got about 2,500 people globally, and we're one of a FTSE 250 company. So that's IG Group. But I think one of the key reasons why this partnership has been a success is the fact that both Tom and Learning with Parents and IG Group have been going through a period of change and of transition and kind of evolution over the last few years. And I just wanted to quickly touch on what that's looked like from our perspective at IG Group in terms of the community outreach, the kind of corporate giving journey that we've been on. As you can see from the slide that, we've been around for about 50 years, but the corporate outreach, corporate giving that we were doing was relatively limited. It was individuals with passion to kind of support a particular cause, but there was nothing strategic and certainly nothing centralized. Our first partnership started in 2019. We started working with Teach First, which is an organization that both Tom and I know really well. That sort of started the journey for us, and it's been rapid progress since then. So that started out with a quite small partnership with Teach First, just testing the water to see if it was something that was going to be valuable to us and something that we felt like we could actually have a positive impact in the way that we were intending to. Very soon after that, though, it was definitely worthwhile. We managed to get our boards to sign off a £5 million commitment to putting this money into a pot that was available to kind of community outreach initiatives all around the globe, which was a huge step forward. We went from having about 80 grand in this first partnership to 5 million. And that really kind of got everybody's attention and got everybody very excited. So that journey continued quite rapidly. In December 2021, the next big milestone was that we decided to make this large commitment a regular occurrence. And rather than just a one-off payment and then using that money until it ran out, we decided that we were going to every year put a percentage of our profits into this pot, into what we call the Brighter Future Fund. Finally, the next sort of relevant milestone, I think, is that last year we refined our strategic themes. It was all based around this concept of empowerment through education, which I'll talk about a bit in a moment. But this strategic sort of foundation, I guess, to our community outreach gave us a lot more confidence to talk to partners that we... it gave us more confidence around partnership choices, I guess. And we were a bit clear about what we wanted to do, what we didn't want to do. And that was really when our conversation with Tom and Learning with Parents started kind of taking off. So I'll hand back to Tom just to talk a little bit more about the beginning, the early days of our partnership.
Great. Thank you so much, Ben. I thought it might be useful to share our sort of approach at Learning with Parents to corporate partnerships and where we came from. We started off, as Andy mentioned, with no corporate partnerships 3 years ago and no real idea of how to start. And we worked with Remarkable Partnerships, and they were fantastic and helped us through this sort of strategic approach to finding potential corporate partners. So the first thing was we researched sectors that we felt like as a charity we might align well with. And we came up with three sectors, which were finance, edtech, and construction. And I won't go into too much detail now, but that was an interesting sort of initial scoping, trying to understand where we might fit well. The second phase was to research individual organizations within those sectors that we felt like could be real hotspots for potential corporate partnerships. And we looked at three things. We looked at strategic alignment, so between our strategic goals and the organizations. We're really looking for those sweet spots of corporate partnerships that benefit both sides rather than just this sort of idea of, giving to make people feel better. The second thing, this concept of the blue ocean, which is rather than the corporates that everyone has heard of and everyone is trying to approach, so the Amazons and Facebooks of this world, who are the organizations that actually still have a big presence, but perhaps aren't getting as many approaches from charities, from other organizations, who potentially the door might be slightly easier to open. And then the third thing was connection. And one of the things I'd done since I started in this sort of nonprofit world in 2016 was to make sure every time I met someone, I was just, you know, making that LinkedIn connection, getting that that touch of a base. And Ben and I had sat in a room together. We'd actually been on an interview panel together, maybe 4 years before. And so he was a connection on LinkedIn, but not much more than that. But who were the organizations where we had some level of connection that we might be able to build upon? And then once we'd done our organizational research, we had our shortlist of organizations we really wanted to, then we were thinking about what was our individual approach to those organizations. So what was the shared purpose that that aligned learning with parents and that organization? Where was the overlap in our ambitions? And what ideas did we have for partnerships and trying to make those as tangible as we could, be that albeit quite hard from an external position to really know what the best partnership ideas would be. And so I won't go into too much detail about this, but this was our sort of initial thinking about, at the top there, you've got IG's sort of purpose statement that I found simply by Googling their website. At the bottom was our vision. And then thinking about which sort of key strands felt like they aligned. So the ambitious, we're an incredibly ambitious charity looking to really sort of make a significant difference in the education sector. And again, they've got that ambitious part of their statement. Financial freedom really interested me. And we're working with, you know, some of the families in poverty in the UK. And so financial freedom is really sort of another way in my mind of saying poverty. And how did that align? And then innovative technology. They are a fintech firm, as Ben said, and we're a tech-based charity, which we felt like positioned us in a relatively unusual position. So it might be a good position to focus on. And so then at this time, we were really thinking about the impact of our programs. Like we said, we had the maths and English on top of our reading log. And we were thinking, is there more we can do with this? Like, obviously, the maths and English is great, but we're working with all these families that are facing so many hardships. Is there something we can do that links sort of more directly to the financial challenges they're having? And found this really interesting bit of research about how children's money habits are largely developed through interactions they have at home with their parents by the age of 7. And that got us really interested in, is there a way of taking our core essence of what we do and just thinking about how we frame it or how we focus it to look at developing those money habits? And that was a strand that became an emerging theme. The more those corporate partners we spoke to, the more it felt like actually it aligned with the sector. It aligned with what the research was saying. And that was one of our real sort of starting points was together with June, who's the CEO of IG, we did a thought leadership piece, a joint thought leadership piece, and that was looking at how corporates and charities could potentially work together around this financial literacy piece. And the opportunity I think we identified with IG is that they are supporting financial literacy for adults. That's their sort of entire organization. It's helping adults around positive finance habits. But if so much of it is set in that sort of 4 to 7 age range, then how can we help them position perhaps as supporting financial literacy from, you know, 4 to 94 or whatever the numbers you wanted to say, that sort of all through development of financial literacy? Was there some sort of alignment there? I'll go back to Ben to speak a bit more about their focus and how we brought that together.
Thanks, Tom. That stat that you just mentioned about financial habits being formed at such a young age really, really resounded with us. It was a real sort of penny dropping moment. And we realized that this was an area that not only did we have a particular interest in as, you know, as a financial firm, but also we felt like this was an area that we had a bit of responsibility in as well, to kind of actually get involved in and try and help develop better habits and therefore ensure that the sort of financial freedom that you can achieve by having good financial literacy levels and understand how to use your finances, that would be more available to everybody and not just those that were lucky enough to form these habits at a young age. So I guess the sort of details on the slide just talk a bit more about the themes that we developed for our Brighter Future Fund. But I wanted just to make the point that we have these themes that are relatively clear, linked to the UN Sustainable Development Goals, but the real key, the best partnerships that we've got, are those that also link nicely to our interests as a business, our kind of corporate purpose that Tom mentioned, and sort of to our expertise as well. And they enable us to form a fairly coherent narrative around what we're trying to achieve with an organization. So if we're trying to help people access financial markets and become able or better equipped to become financially independent, having a partnership with an organization that's doing that, but at sort of very early age, made a lot of sense. And the thought leadership piece that Tom did with our CEO was such an awesome step forward. It got everybody's attention. Our CEO was very, very passionate about the topic and got to know Tom very quickly. And that sort of senior level of engagement meant that the partnership conversation suddenly ramped up massively, and we were it was a big moment. So I think that was a really important step. I think that was basically all I wanted to say about that. The powerful sort of the power of trying to find that sweet spot really between a fairly abstract community outreach theme like empowerment through education and a very specific sort of business priority or business area of expertise like financial literacy. And that sweet spot is exactly what we found with the partnership with Tom.
Great, thanks, Ben. So off the back of that thought leadership piece, we had an initial 1-year partnership. And the nice thing was IG was setting up these systems and processes, and we were starting our partnership, and we were able to be, that there seemed to be such genuine mutual benefit in it. We were able to help even things like think about how they might assess partners in the future and give feedback on the application forms and all of that sort of thing. There was just really open, transparent conversations as we went through and developed. So that first year, I think, set us in great stead. We were able to report back on what we had achieved, and it was relatively sort of modest in what we were attempting, but really set us up well for the fuller partnership. In terms of that wider partnership, we grew around three particular strands. So the first one was we were both keen that the funding was unrestricted funding, so core cost funding. And we achieved this in part by saying, look, we're going to support this number of disadvantaged families, and we're going to be able to attribute IG's funding to this number of families that we work with. Secondly, we were really keen to learn together around financial literacy. If you have a parent who's struggling with their own finances, how are they going to develop positive money habits in their child? Like, that's not an easy problem. It's not something that we were coming in saying we knew how to do, nor that IG was sitting there saying, look, we've got the answers to. And so the financial literacy piece, we took this approach of, we're not going to say we're going to, you know, achieve these miracles in the first 3 years, but actually we're going to do some really rigorous research. We're going to speak to the most disadvantaged and the most marginalized parents. We're going to speak to a range of different teachers. We're going to do a really thorough analysis of the organizations in this space and look at how they are working with the sort of families that we're really focused on. We're going to test out little programs and do data and analysis on the usage of them. And we're going to slowly build something over time that is really based in the research and really evidence-based. And then the final strand, and so the one there that I've called IG Parents, was again trying to speak to this: how do we provide benefits for the organization that go beyond just the fact that there's this strategic alignment and this charity partner. And IG Parents is actually, we are a parental engagement charity. Yes, we're focused on supporting the most disadvantaged, but we sort of know that our support also works for the more affluent or more engaged parents as well. And so IG, they have, I can't remember how many staff, Ben mentioned it earlier, but large body of staff, of which a decent subgroup are parents themselves. And so what could we do with those parents to support them in their own parenting journey as an employee of IG? And that felt like a really nice benefit, because they would not just understand more about the charity and, you know, raise awareness of the partnership, but they would also get a tangible benefit. And there's sort of a tapping into the HR department and bits that are far beyond the sort of initial and normal scope of CSR or ESG. The final thing to say is, I think we've had a really great sort of open dialogue throughout all of this around how we want to approach things. So things like corporate volunteering. What do we want? We've had that conversation of what we don't want is, you know, to have to put lots of a charity's time into taking employees into schools so that they get a chance to sit with some sweet primary school kids or whatever else it is. Like, if that's not helping the charity, then we don't really want to be doing it. What are corporate volunteering opportunities which could provide real benefit to the charity whilst also benefiting IG in one way or another? And so we've had some great conversations there about the potential for new employees at IG to come and spend a little while experiencing life in a charity and provide us with a sort of serious amount of volunteering time as part of a placement, perhaps, before then going on to the broader group. We're not yet decided on whether we're going to do it and how it's going to proceed, but we're having those conversations really openly about what we would really value and what would be most useful and what would work for Ben and IG. Similarly, around impact measurement, I think it's a sort of part of IG being led by someone in Ben who has been on the other side, but there's a really sort of open conversation about what we're realistically going to be able to provide in terms of impact measurement, how we're going to be able to develop that, and what is going to be, you know, most useful for both organizations. And so that has just been really refreshing.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fundraising Everywhere podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast, why not share it with a fundraising friend? And if you would like to give us a little like or subscribe, it really helps more fundraisers like you find us. Thank you so much. See you next time.